Lou Cole walked into the room to find a middle-aged man in a flamboyant dressing gown sitting at his desk, a pair of pince-nez set crookedly on his nose. "Good morning, Cole." Lou Cole looked at the man who had sent him to 7.5 years of hell, and the corners of his thin lips curled.
"Morning, Mr. Reader."
His eyes flashed across the almost bare surface of the writing desk on which Reader's hands were lightly clasped.
"You didn't expect to see me, I guess."
"Not so early," said Reader in his hushed voice. "But I should have remembered that early rising is one of the good habits which are inculcated by penal servitude." He said this in the manner of one bestowing praise for good conduct.
"I suppose you've got a pretty good idea of why I have come, eh? I'm a bad forgetter, Reader, and a man in Dartmoor has time to think."
The older man lifted his sandy eyebrows. The steel-rimmed glasses on his nose slipped further askew. "That phrase seems familiar," he said, and the eyebrows lowered in a frown. "Now let me think. It was in a melodrama, of course. But was it Souls in Harness or The Marriage Vow?" He appeared genuinely anxious for assistance in solving this problem.
"This is going to be a different kind of play," said the long-faced Lou through his teeth. "I'm going to get you, Reader. You can go along and tell your boss, the public prosecutor. But I'll get you, sweet. There will be no evidence to swing me, and I'll get that nice little stocking of yours, Reader."
The legend of Reader's fortune was accepted even by so intelligent a man as Cole. "You'll get my stocking. Dear me, I shall have to go barefooted," said Mr. Reader, with a faint show of humour.
"You know what I mean. Think that over. Some hour and day you'll go out, and all Scotland Yard won't catch me for the killing. I've thought that out."
"One has time to think in Dartmoor," murmured Mr. J.G. Reader encouragingly. "You're becoming one of the world's thinkers, Cole. Do you know Rodin's masterpiece? A beautiful statue throbbing with life?"
"That's all."
Lou Cole rose, the smile still trembling at the corner of his mouth.
"Maybe you'll turn this over in your mind, and in a day or two you won't be feeling so gay."
Reader's face was pathetic in its sadness. His untidy sandy grey hair seemed to be standing on end. The large ears that stood out at right angles to his face gave the illusion of quivering movement. Lou Cole's hand was on the doorknob. Whoomp! It was the sound of a dull weight striking a board. Something winged past his cheek. Before his eyes, a deep hole showed in the wall, and his face was stung by flying grains of plaster. He spun round with a whine of rage. Mr. Reader had a long-barrelled Browning in his hand, with a barrel-shaped silencer over the muzzle, and he was staring at the weapon, open-mouthed. "Now, how on earth did that happen?" he asked in wonder. Lou Cole stood trembling with rage and fear, his face yellow-white.
You swine!" he breathed. "You tried to shoot me!"
Mr. Reader stared at him over his glasses.
"Good gracious! You think that? Still thinking of killing me, Cole?"
Cole tried to speak, but found no words, and flinging open the door, he strode down the stairs and through the front entrance. His foot was on the first step when something came hurtling past him and crashed to fragments at his feet. It was a large stone vase that had decorated the windowsill of Mr. Reader's bedroom. Leaping over the debris of stone and flower mould, he glared up into the surprised face of Mr. J.G. Reader.
"I'll get you!" he spluttered.
"I hope you're not hurt,"
asked the man at the window in a tone of concern.
"These things happen. Some day and some hour."
As Lou Cole strode down the street, the detective was still talking.